It's connected. Infracell up. Mega thrusters are go.
Welcome, Voltron fans. This is Mark Morrell, your host for Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. And I'm here this week to talk about an amazing announcement that we've been waiting for quite a long time. Yes, you've heard it. If you're doing anything about Voltron and you're listening out there, then you heard the news that Netflix will be releasing a new Voltron show this year. And it's being made by DreamWorks Animation. And the announcement came out at the same time as the announcement about Guillermo del Toro's Trollhunters, which is also coming out on Netflix this year. And there were some people that were a little bit confused as to whether or not Guillermo del Toro was involved in the Voltron show, but he was not. So we just want to separate out those two stories. They came together at once, and we just want you to know that I'm sure Guillermo del Toro would love to be involved with the Voltron show, but he's not involved with this one. And I also wanted to, you know, go out there and see how the fans feel about this. So I brought a few fans along with us. We're going to get the fans that are in the studio with us, so to speak. And then we're going to get reactions from fans on Twitter and Facebook and email and everywhere. So without further ado, I'm going to start introducing our podcast cast for today, and I want to start with Tally LaFlamme. Tally, welcome to Let's Voltron.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
How you doing?
Doing great.
Okay. And then, secondly, I want to introduce Tara Scully. How you doing, Tara?
Good, Mark. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. And then third, I want to introduce Greg Tyler. Welcome back, Greg.
Hi. Nice to be back. Good to meet everybody else.
Okay. So we have the three of you here with me today, and obviously you've heard the news and everything. What was your very first initial reaction to all this? So let's start with Tally.
Well, you know, I think I heard rumblings of this, and maybe Tara can confirm this. Was it a couple years ago at a con, perhaps?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We heard rumblings of this, and we're kind of like, well, let's see what happens. You know, we had the show back in 2010, 2011. That was good, but to hear it's on Netflix is very exciting. You know, Netflix is, you know, those cable streaming companies have become the new hot thing. It's kind of phasing out cable. You know, they're going places that Nicktoons couldn't go. They're going to, like, you know, all around the world. So it's very exciting. It's going to bring the audience and bring Voltron to a much bigger audience than it could with Nicktoons. That's good to hear. And they're doing really neat stuff on Netflix. I mean, there's all kinds of neat, innovative shows nowadays on Netflix that you thought were on HBO, but no, they're on Netflix. So it's really exciting that Netflix is getting a hold of this.
Right. All right, how about you, Tara? What was your first initial reaction?
I was spamming it on Facebook because that's actually how I found out, because one of my friends had actually sent me the link in my little hole that I work in, and I got it, and I was extremely excited. And I think one of the first ones was I text Tally or email Tally and told her, you know, it's back, it's coming back. And we were,
we do, yeah.
we were doing the happy dance and we were very excited.
All right, Greg, how about you? What was your first initial reaction?
I was a bit skeptical, of course, but when you hear Netflix associated with it, it certainly doesn't sound like a rumor, especially when it came from them. So very excited. I loved Voltron Force. But I think part of what led to its premature demise was being on a network that a lot of people didn't even know existed, right. Nicktoons. Great network, you know, nothing against them, but they just didn't have, they weren't ubiquitous like Netflix is. It is everywhere. And when Netflix talks, people listen. So I'm very excited to see Voltron in this new channel. So very excited.
Well, obviously, I was very excited as well. However, I did kind of know this was coming down the pike. I hadn't heard, you know, too much about it. I just knew that when Classic Media had been acquired by DreamWorks, that, you know, Voltron was included and all that. And at the time, we knew just from, you know, having conversations with Wep and everybody there, that there was something that they were going to do to develop something new for Voltron. And Voltron was one of those properties out of all the ones that, that Classic Media had that DreamWorks was most excited about.
Awesome.
So the employees at DreamWorks, when they got the announcement that they had acquired Classic Media, and it included all of these different properties, you know, that the employees got most excited about Voltron. So Bob Coppler had already, you know, talked to us about the beginnings of the relationship with DreamWorks, and they felt very comfortable having DreamWorks take over the license. And they knew that DreamWorks was going to do something special with Voltron. So we had also heard, you know, there was a licensing expo in Las Vegas, not this past year, but the year before that, where we had heard that there was also a sort of a presentation that DreamWorks had given at the licensing expo. And part of that was like a 5-minute part that included what they were planning on doing with Voltron to get all the licensees excited about it because it was coming down the pike.
That's great.
And then, you know, the day after we got this announcement, we got an announcement that Netflix went worldwide. And now they're available in over 120 countries.
Wow.
So we knew that there were people that if they were expecting that Netflix was going to have a Voltron show, they were a little bit disappointed because they didn't have Netflix yet. You know, so all these countries out in the East and everything, the Far East and stuff, hadn't had Netflix yet.
Oh, that's right.
So now that Netflix has been announced in all these countries, now we know, you know, coming forward that by the time Voltron comes out, all these people should have Netflix by then. So it's an amazing thing because the day before, you know, Voltron gets announced as a new show coming out this year. And then all of a sudden Netflix is now worldwide. Was it because of Voltron? I don't know. He is the defender of the universe. And if he's the defender of the universe, he should play across the whole universe, right?
Indeed. Indeed.
Indeed.
And Netflix is in China, right?
Everywhere but China, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Okay. But hey, you know, China is a little bit behind when it comes to the animation stuff, but they are catching up very fast.
Yeah, that's a huge investment. And they definitely want as many people to watch these things as they can. But yeah, as far as I'm concerned, it's Voltron.
Right. So if we want to start this conversation off right, then what we want to do is make sure that we're not speculating or wishing or something about that of things that definitely are not going to be. You know, like I know there were a lot of people out there when we said, oh, what would you like in a Voltron show? A lot of them said, well, I'd like it to be geared towards adults. And, you know, that would be great and everything. But I think Voltron overall is meant to be for everyone. So for the kids and the adults all together. But it doesn't mean it can't have adult situations and adult themes and stuff like that. You can still have all that and have the kids enjoy it as well. So I wanted to give you guys the official comment that I had gotten from Bob Coppler at WEP, at World Events Productions. He said, the only official comment I can really share about the series is it's going to be spectacular. And it will appeal to kids and adults of all ages. I really can't wait until we can share more because I think you will love it.
Hmm.
So that's the official word from Bob Coppler. And right then and there, it all automatically, you know, tells us that it's not just for adults. It's going to be for everyone.
Great.
So what do you guys think about that?
Well, I'm excited. I mean, I would hope that anybody watching this show would have an open enough mind to realize that, you know, even a show that would have been written only for kids has stuff to entertain adults as well. But hearing that this is targeted to everyone, certainly I would hope would open some more eyes than might be opened if we, you know, they just said it was only for kids. So, I'm sure there'll be plenty for everyone to enjoy.
Okay.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. You know, things like The Hunger Games, that was written a book for teenagers. And let's face it, adults love it too. So, I mean, you can't just say, oh, it's for kids and adults won't get into it. I do believe saying it's for everyone is going to be the best bet, you know?
Yeah. I I completely agree. What about you, Tara?
Absolutely agree with both of them. You know, the wider mass it can appeal to, the more the popularity will grow and embrace, you know, what we've loved for the last almost 30 years. And, you know, bringing new fans that's in every other country, and the fact that it's children, adults, teenagers, you know, bring more fans in and bring Voltron back to life. You know,
yeah, it's going to be us, you know, kind of passing it on. I mean, we grew up with it, but I know for myself and my kids, I shared it with them. And so this is a chance for us, all of us adults out there who loved it so much, to turn around and share it with the younger generation. And, you know, say, this is what I used to watch. These are my toys and that kind of thing, that's always really cool. That's part of the appeal of it, you know, to be able to share it.
Right. And, you know, I think that for the kids that have, you know, just found out about Voltron, like through either the Nicktoons show or from having parents that loved Voltron, I know that my son definitely, when we watched the Voltron Force show together, it was a special thing because he was like 8 at the time. And now, you know, he's going to be getting a new show and he's going to be like 13. So I think he's just at the right age to carry this along and, you know, take it into his adulthood. So I'm hoping that this is the type of thing that will live a lot longer than one season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. My daughter was an infant when Voltron Force debuted. In fact, I think I caught the first couple episodes and then missed it. Had to record it and watch it later because my daughter was born. And so I'd watch it DVR'd while I was rocking her to sleep every Aww. Now and then. And anyway, so I was able to show her several episodes on Netflix. She's now 4 and she likes the show, but then it's disappeared off Netflix. I'm assuming to maybe clear the way for the new show coming out. But in any case, yeah, I'm really excited that she'll be able to pick up a new show on her own, assuming she likes it. You know, we'll have something, you know, an additional something to share together. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, going forward, before we even talk about things that other fans have said about it, what are the things that you guys really want out of this new show? What kind of things do you already have in your mind as to what DreamWorks has done with this show, and what you think it'll be for both old fans and new fans?
Go for it. Tally, go for it.
All right, I'll go for it. Sure. Well, you know, I love giant robots. I love big Boston, cannot lie, you know? I want to, you know, I want to, of course, this is what's about the Voltron Force show. They did the different configurations of Voltron. They had the yellow center. They had the red center. I would love to see something like that. I would love to see more of, you know, us exploring the CGI, the better animation. Let's face it, back in the day, animation wasn't all that great. They rehashed all those old different cells. You know, it wasn't very original. I would hope that they could show us Voltron a little more differently as they did in the Voltron Force series. I want to see them doing the configurations. I also want to see more personality of the characters. I mean, we had just general stereotypes, I think, back in the original Force. And we loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, we loved it.
Yeah.
But we had, you know, we had the princess, the pretty princess. We had the brave hero Keith. We had the maverick Lance. We had the big buddy Hunk. And we had Brainiac Pidge. It's given more personality. I think Voltron 4 started doing that when they had, you know, Pidge be the secret DJ, when they had, you know, Lance stumbling through a door with his coffee cup. I mean, things like that would be great to see. Give them actual personality, not that stock footage people. Give them, like, actual character.
So do you think Alora still needs a nanny that's going to, you know, wait over her hand and foot and all that kind of stuff?
I think it'd be hilarious to have her come in, like her try to do stuff, and, you know, Laura button heads with her now, and maybe try to get her to throw over a knee and spank her again. I don't know. Maybe she retire nanny. You know, maybe she like have her in retirement. I don't know. Enjoying her retirement life, you know, on the beach somewhere.
Yeah. How about you, Tara?
Elaborate a little bit more on what Tally was saying. You know, I want to see more personality and see some more backstory to him. You know, like what the comics got into. And stuff like that. And I want to see him expand on that and give it a little bit more of a personal touch. And, you know, hopefully, you know, more a little bit can go back to what they were doing in Voltron Force and finish the story arc of, you know, the origins of Voltron. They never finished that, you know, and it was never finished in the comic. You know, we never figured out what that last planet was.
Right.
And stuff like that. So I would like to see that elaborated on a little bit too.
Oh, yeah, good point.
So do you think DreamWorks is even going to take it in the direction of the origins of Voltron and the Lions and Hagar and how it all came about?
They may not. I hope they would, because, you know, kind of give the fans some closure with that. But who knows? They may even go in a completely different direction. We may not see Lance. We may not see Hunk. They may have a whole new crew. We don't know.
Ugh, no.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of backlash when I asked the question online. Do we go forward with a new crew? Mm-hmm. Do we kill off one of the original members of the crew and then move forward like Star Wars did? Oh, sorry, spoiler. And do we, and then there was a lot of people that just went completely nuts, and they said, no, you got to keep the original crew, and nobody gets killed off, and
that's our fandom.
We just like to go forward with new stories with the old crew. What do you think, Greg?
I got it. Well, first of all, just to follow into that, I didn't read a lot of what's been said on social media. I just kind of keep to myself. But I did read a few comments on the Voltron Facebook page with people saying, I want it to look just like the 80s show, but updated. Well, in my opinion, if there are a lot of folks who want it to be just like the original show and not bad and different and new. And frankly, if it's not different and new, I'm going to leave off bad because that's a judgment call. But if it's not different and new, why make it at all? I mean, right. I really want something different and new. And you can stick to the core concepts and go off in a new and exciting direction. And if that's a follow-on to the 80s show in some way, kind of a loose sequel, if that's a follow-on to Voltron Force, or dare I say it, the third dimension, which I do like, that's cool too. But I really hope that they take the core concept and go crazy with it. And I really am excited to see what they might come up with.
All right. So from a story aspect, okay, from a character aspect, all right, so we still have Lance, we still have Keith, we still have Pidge, we still have Hunk, we still have Allura, we still have Sven, right?
Yep.
Gotta have who, Sven, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. Or who are you asking?
Anybody. I don't...
yeah, keep Sven around.
I know, I mean, Tara wants Sven.
Oh, God, yeah, I want Sven back, but we don't know because that, you know, Ghost and the Lion, we don't know what happened. The planet exploded. You know, what happened?
Okay, well, let's say that they ignore the fact that episode happened in Voltron Force. Then what? Where do we go with Sven?
Bring him back. Bring him back. I mean, he has a son. I want to bring Romel. You know,
they have a son.
You know, bring some of the old cast back.
Okay, in the comics, they had Sven acting as an alternate agent from the Voltron Force, who was also working with the Voltron Force. So, and even in the comics, they even had Sven kill off Zarkon. Yes. So, what do you think Sven's? I don't know. His role could be if he's not one of the main Lions.
Well, Kran wasn't part of the Lions, and he had a role in the series too. I think there's definitely room in the universe for non-pilot characters, and in fact, it kind of fleshes out the universe. You can't just have all the time in the cockpit, you know. It just adds more dimension to the story. He's there, you know. He's part of the Force. In my opinion, you really can't take him out of the equation. But people have tried. But I don't think you can. I think that includes Sven and Romel.
Do you think it would be cool if the Voltron Force had more allies out there, like you saw in some of the Voltron Force things?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd like to see that too. My opinion is seems to be a bit different than what I've heard here. I mean, I'm cool with keeping the core characters, but I'm also okay with them shaking that stuff up. I mean, I'm okay if you have characters by these names, but if you want to shake them up from a demographic perspective, instead of having them all, you know, of course, from Go Lion essentially look Japanese, or from the Voltron version all essentially looking Caucasian, you know, if you could shake that up a bit and maybe, you know, change some genders, races, something like that, I think that would make things a little different, fresh, but not just for the sake of change, you know. I'm cool with changing that stuff around, as far as, you know, what role a Sven character might have. I'm okay with them just making Planet Eris have a population of more than 10.
Yeah.
You know,
it Willers, almost doesn't, that's
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter which series we're talking about. Planet Eris seems to be the castle, the people who live in the castle, and then just a sprinkling of other people in a random village somewhere, you know? I mean, I realize that Zarkon laid waste to that planet, but if it's been 15 or 20 years since that took place, you know, people ought to be, you know, doing something during those years. So, yeah, right. I just like to see, in general, more people.
Right. Well, we did have that with Vehicle Voltron. We had a more diverse cast in Vehicle Voltron, obviously different races, different, you know, species and all that kind of stuff. But we also had the problem with them was that they were on an exploratory mission and they had their own Voltron with them as sort of a way to defend themselves. But when it came to, you know, getting together with Voltron, like in Fleet of Doom, that's where it really came together. And we think we saw the best of both worlds of Vehicle Voltron and Line Force Voltron. Can we get that again?
Oh, sure. I think that now, you know, I'm a Vehicle Voltron fan. I was in the podcast stories about it and all that. I love this stuff. I think that you've got to play it safe if you're starting a brand new series. If you shotgun the audience with, here's a lion-based robot, here's a vehicle-based robot, that's just as cool, we promise. You know, I'd really rather they play, you know, play the cards that are, you know, the most likely to win, which is, I mean, let's face it, the lion guys, right? I mean, even the fans, I mean, the folks who like Vehicle Voltron or, you know, heaven forbid, prefer Vehicle Voltron, they're a thin sliver of the most diehard fan base. Right. So I think when you start off, you got to start off with a sure thing. And if they choose to introduce a vehicle-based element, that's cool, but wait until season two or three and bring it in slowly.
Right. Okay. So you spoke of season two and three. I mean, we're not used to that kind of thing as Voltron
fans. No,
we're not.
Hope springs eternal.
So what do we do if we get at least like three seasons of this? What? I mean,
Joyce.
Yes. Obviously, there's not just the opportunity for a Voltron show here. Okay, we all know that, right?
Perhaps a movie?
Well, let's not talk about the movie yet, okay?
Okay.
let's talk about just the opportunity to get, like, merchandise and toys and video games and apps and all these other things. What about that? Don't you want that in addition to the show?
Yes, I want toys.
Sure.
That'd be great. I know that's, you remember talking to Jeremy back in the day about what he was going through with the vehicle and with the Ultron Force merchandising. I know that's a big crucial element nowadays for these shows to make it. And which I guess looking back on now from my childhood, obviously we had the best toys ever in the 80s. We had the Transformers and Voltron, things like that, which were based around TV shows. And of course, Star Wars, which we all know.
G.I. Joe.
Huge. Yeah, G.I. Joe. Exactly.
Yeah.
Those toys were just such a, I mean, even nowadays when we see those toys, like I, for example, I have a Voltron in my office at work and people just stop and they just get this look on their face like, oh, I had that. Can I see it? You know, I think we there's definitely a place for that. And that's part of our sentimentality that we like to have those toys too. That'd be just wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still lament the lack of Voltron Force merchandise and the lack of a second season. I really enjoyed that show, and I don't know if I know, Mark, you're aware of this, but I've been working on my own custom Vehicle Voltron made to look like the Panache Place toys, and my goal after that's done is to do a Voltron Force Voltron based on the Imaginext toys. I've always found those to be really fun kids' toys, and that's really what I want to see in merchandise is toys. I like the high-end stuff. I think Toynami does a phenomenal job with what they've done, but I really want to see toys that kids can enjoy and play with and buy at Walmart or Toys R Us or something back in the at the mass retail level, stuff that kids can enjoy. That's what I like
absolutely
to see.
Right, and we've already seen this with Netflix, okay? Netflix has already released Dragon's Race to the Edge, and that has toys associated with it and merchandise. And we've seen Dino Trucks, which is for the younger kids, but it's still coming out with apps and merchandise and toys and everything. So giving the full court press on this, what would be the best types of merchandise that come along with the Netflix show?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Definitely would say the robots, you know, the like I think you can't go on with the traditional, bring the robots together. Also, I know apps are a big thing nowadays, too. If they can get like a gaming app on it, that'd be great as well. Apps are huge nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
And apps are used sometimes as a supplement to the show. They may have information from the show. You may be able to get character bios. You may be able to get, vehicle information, maybe schematics or something like that, blueprints, whatever. You may be able to play little mini games within the app that are using the characters from the show. So there's all types of things that you can do with apps, obviously. And then there's like full blown video games that could be used either as an app or on the consoles.
Yeah, I'm much more low tech. I prefer action figures that you can stick into lions and other vehicles and slap them together into robots and hopefully a big old robeast for them to fight. A castle playset. I'm all about the toys. I'm a little more low tech, I guess.
I was gonna say I agree with Greg. I want I would like more action figures and toys and stuff to add to my collection and have my mother tell me more that my room doesn't look like a girl's room. It looks like a room that belongs to a 13-year-old boy.
For example, the latest Star Wars movie, with all the merchandise that came out, every time that I would go myself to the toy aisle at Walmart or Target, wherever, it was me and adults in the toy aisle. So, and I know the kids like the toys too, but I don't know what they're more focused on these days, but it's like, I don't know if it's our nostalgia or what, but it seemed like the majority of customers for the Star Wars figures were, in the new Star Wars things are like a lot of adults. A lot of adults are buying toys nowadays.
That's true.
Do you think it's because they're collectors or because they just want to share this with their kids?
Oh, these guys look like collectors. I mean, look like the average, just stereotype of toy collectors, I guess you might say. But these guys look like just the average, they look like everyday guys. I mean, going in there and mostly guys, but and they're going buying the toys for their kids,
Okay.
Maybe they're wanting to, maybe it's a bit of nostalgia, because we grew up with action figures and toys you could touch. Not kids nowadays where they have their nose stuck in a cell phone or an iPad, where they play these apps, bring them home for the kids, show them what we had, try and get them away from that electronic thing. And this is what I grew up with, and maybe that's what they're doing.
You can't surround yourself with an iPad app. You can surround yourself with toys.
Exactly.
Right. So if there's toys in your room, you're going to know what types of shows that kid likes just by looking at the toys in his room or her room.
Yep.
Yeah, with just electronic games and stuff like that, you can't surround yourself with this stuff. There's no plushes. There's no, plastic toys. There's no diecast toys. I mean, my room is filled with that stuff.
Me too.
Yep. I know Tally knows what I'm talking about when I say is they need to have lion plushies.
They really do.
The lion pillow pets.
Maybe they could Velcro together into Voltron. What do you think?
That would be awesome.
Your Voltron body pillow.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Let's go, man. Velcro force.
Velcro force.
I don't know if this is a good thing to see grown women sleeping with Voltron.
Don't judge.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Moving on.
So moving on. All right. So what I want to do now is there's a lot of information to get through that we had from fans online.
Okay.
And I would like to get started with the Twitter feed because that sort of blew up on me here. I asked the question on Netflix. About the Netflix show to the people on Facebook and the people on Twitter. I asked people to send emails if they, get a little long-winded and they don't want to keep on doing 140 characters at a time. So we do have some emails too. So let's just start with Twitter. All right. After I put out the note, BJ Wanland sent a note back saying, "I am maintaining a healthy, cautious optimism that it will be good." So it seems like there's a few people out there that were a little bit skeptical about what was going to be brought forward, but they're hopeful at the same time as being skeptical. Did you guys get that feeling too?
Yeah. I'll be honest too. I have a slight bit of skepticism, like everybody else does. I guess everyone is slightly afraid of we don't have any idea what they're doing with this. So are they going to stay true to the fans and to the fandom and what Voltron is, or are they going to destroy it? I think is what some people are afraid of.
Now, does it help that the intellectual property owner is telling you it's going to be spectacular because they've already seen it?
Yeah, that I think will help reassure some people once they hear that. And, you know, hopefully it is as spectacular as they say it is.
Okay, Chitoy, you guys all know Chitoy. She says, I'm hoping they keep the style of the Voltron Force lines and the main five. After that, I'm open for almost anything. I wouldn't mind a return of the cadets, maybe a few tweaks to Daniel and lowering the Gary Stew of Vince. So she wouldn't mind having like a continuation of Voltron Force. Warzone Prez says, more information on the series would be nice, but seriously, I think we're all just glad to see Voltron back. She also says that definitely avoid mistakes made in the past with Voltron 3D and avoiding the direction Voltron Force was going in season 2.
I want a clean slate. I mean, you okay. can, again, you can stick to past elements, you know, make it, you know, keep some of the core components of the 80s show, which are the same as the core components of the other two series. But I'd really like to see them go in a different direction. I'm okay with if they want to make the Lions resemble the ones from the 80s or the ones from Voltron Force. I'm okay with that. I mean, you know, I just want a new show that I can enjoy, have fun with, and, you know, celebrate with my daughter. That's pretty much it for me.
Okay. Linda Endinger says, I think I'd like to see a much darker Voltron, more in line with the original Go Lion, more anime than cartoon. And Sven, but not an afterthought of Sven like in Voltron Force either. DreamWorks needs to decide if this will be a kids show or targeting us adults. And she says, I think Voltron Force showed that you can't do both. Well, it sounds like they're trying to do both.
I think Voltron Force would have been successful on a network that more people knew about. I mean, I think it had the right formula. It just didn't have enough eyes watching it to get retailers interested in tie-in merchandise to keep the show going. I think that was the fatal flaw of Voltron Force. It just didn't have enough people who even knew it existed.
Yeah. How about you guys?
Well, you know, I think the whole thing with saying the word anime, you know, we do know, most of us know that, you know, just because it's a cartoon doesn't mean it's for kids. I mean, a lot of the anime, which, you know, something like Bleach or those kind of shows are quite violent. They're quite bloody.
Like Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And those are really geared toward older teenagers, and it's very small, I think, genre. I think if you went that dark, you would definitely be excluding a lot of people watching it. I think Voltron has an idea it's supposed to not be dark. I think it's supposed to be for everyone. So it would be kind of cool to see it go dark or a little darker, but I think it's best to leave it for fan fiction, perhaps. I mean, if you're going to market it to large audience, the anime way isn't the way to go. With, you know, it's tempting, but we just know that's a very small niche of the viewing market. That just can't be done. We got to keep it going. And if we're going to keep it going, I think we need to get it to the kids.
Speaking of the fan fiction, do you think that'll increase with this show?
I'm pretty sure definitely. It will.
Yeah, I'm not into the fan fiction myself, but anytime you have a franchise that's thriving versus one that's stagnant, you're going to get more fans and get your older fans interested again, and I'm sure fanfic will explode again.
So we'll see new stories based on the new show, right?
Sure,
absolutely.
Why not?
We take all any right. kernel of a thing we can get and run with it in fan fiction, so
right.
you'll see a lot of a genesis of new fan fiction coming up, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
If I may comment very quickly on anime versus not, I am completely opposed to a new Voltron show going anything like Beast King Go Lion was. I think the show is fun to watch as a curiosity, and, you know, to contrast it with what we all know and love. And I think it on its own, it's an entertaining series for the older crowd. I mean, I've enjoyed the show, but if a new show were to be anywhere near that dark and gruesome, I don't know that I'd watch it on a regular basis, I have to say. And I am a Voltron junkie.
Okay. At what point do you say too much evil is too much? All right. So when it comes to the things that were happening in Go Line, you had cannibalism, you had slaves, you had a lot of violent behaviors, beheadings, decapitations, all that kind of stuff. what is too much when it comes to trying to portray just how evil, you know, the Drools or Zarkon or Lotor or anybody is?
I think what the previous shows did was adequate. I think other shows, I mean, that are targeted toward all audiences or just kids, I think that stuff's adequate. I mean, you know, you got your black hat villains in the 80s show in the third dimension in Voltron Force. You know, in the 80s, you had your Cobra Commander and Megatron retreat or whatever. I mean, that stuff still can work. I don't see a reason to go to all that brutality that we saw in Goline. I'm not saying that violence is bad in fiction. But there's no way I would show Go Lion to my daughter until she's an adult. Yeah. I mean, why would I want that on any kid? Do you really want a kid exposed to that? So, I mean, if you want a property to thrive and to last, you've got to keep the kids. You have to at least make it appropriate for kids.
Right.
I mean, there's making it appealing to kids, but first you got to make it something that your parents aren't just going to shut off. So I'm completely opposed to a Go Lion kind of a tone to a new show, but that's just me.
Once again, it's like Star Wars. I mean, they do it perfectly. I mean, kids can watch it, adults can watch it. And there's violence in Star Wars. I mean, you're getting amputations, but it's not bloody and gory. I don't know how to describe it exactly, but it works. You know.
Yeah, even in this new movie, when Han throws the guy into the monster, all you see come out is a boot. You don't ever see blood and guts and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
If it was Quentin Tarantino, there would be. So, all right. So I want to go back. There are a lot of fans of the original show. So Mylari out there says, at the risk of being in the minority, I'd like to see it in the style, both visual and story-wise, of the original. And Kitty Sean says, I agree, as a longtime fan, it's the original characters that have kept me coming back. Linda Endinger threw in that some girls like Superman, some like Batman. She goes for the dark ones. So something to consider. The original is 30 years old and still beloved. Obviously, something was done right. That was Kitty Sean. Cubbyberry said that keep the promise that Mr. Ted Koppler made on the podcast that they will take good care of the core characters. So that means not, you know, adding on new characters or taking away the original characters. BJ Wanlon said, develop new ones. Let's not retread the same ground too often. So there's people of both ways. Cryoflight says, if you move on without dealing with the old villains, it causes the same problems that Voltron Force caused. You know, is this actually a reboot, or is the franchise really need a solid continuity? So let's talk about that. All right. You take the original five pilots, and we're saying Sven is one of the original five. Do you still do it again where Sven gets replaced by Allura, or do you start with the five that includes Allura and not Sven? I mean, that's right at the basic beginning there.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, just like you said, there's going to be fans on both sides of that decide if, you know, do we go with the completely original reboot with the five guys, or do we go with Allura and Sven's spot and, you know, have Sven be a secondary cast member? And it's, you know, it's going to be divided as it's been for years.
Well, I've always liked, though, Allura coming into it like she did. I mean, it shows her stepping beyond the whole pretty princess role, you know. I have no problem with Sven coming in with the original five. I mean, they sent five out in the original series, haven't been there anyway. You know, why not?
Yeah, okay. Or there could be another Sven-like character. I mean, where it could be a female, for example. I'm just saying, it doesn't, you know, I'm not as beholden to the original mythology necessarily, but yeah, I don't know. I really don't want to retread. I mean, it's okay to keep some of the same elements, core elements we all know and love, but Transformers, you know, love it or hate it, in the newer incarnations, it has thrived for 30 years, and it continually reboots and refreshes itself, whether you like a given reboot or not. I think that it has shown that with some care, and maybe more care than Transformers has used, you can make new spins on an original concept. So I'm cool with something fresh.
You know, we're a different audience nowadays. I mean, that was 30 years ago, 1984. We're now in 2016. A lot has happened in the world. Kids are a little more seasoned these days. So I think we can have the original cast, but you definitely have to do some updating. We're not the same people. We're not as, Voltron, the original series, had a bunch of, you know, Keith was the superhero, the Boy Scout. He always had this inspirational kind of thing to him. There was no flaws with them. I think nowadays characters have to be more realistic. Our eyes are more open, you know?
Right.
I think they have flaws, and we never saw much flaws with them. I think they need to have more flaws and a little more edginess to it. But, of course, like we said earlier, you really can't go anime edginess with it. But we are a different audience nowadays, 1984.
Right. All right. So do you guys remember, like, the one of the main parts of the original Voltron series was there was a little bit of magic involved, okay? There was... You know, there was a ghost of Alphor, there was Voltron being formed to begin with, and then when they form Blazing Sword, they just slam the paws together and out comes a magic sword, all right?
Right.
And then when the lions themselves were just fighting, they had these mouth weapons that just appeared out of nowhere.
All right, good point.
So, you know, does that element... Is that a main part of Voltron? The magic of Voltron?
I think it is. I mean, maybe that's why I prefer the Lion Force over Vehicle. I like the magical aspect. I mean, there's technology, sure, but there is a little bit of mysticism. And they did bring that back in Voltron Force. They had the lions in one episode actually kind of reject the pilots, and they had to earn their way back in because the lions had their own spirit or their own...
sentience.
Right. They had their own sentience. And so I do believe... For me, I do like the magical aspect, and magic and technology can work together. Once again, Star Wars, we have, you know, the Jedi who are, you know, mystical race or mystical, you know, group. They have magic, not saying magic powers, but they are pretty much, you know, with technology. It definitely can work.
Okay. Kitty Lynn on Twitter says, the canon characters and stories made me a fan of WEP original. Voltron Force, change characters or ditch them. Bad idea. Rachel Elizabeth says, agree. Higher, older demographic, consequences for actions. Don't rush the storylines. Let characters develop. Original characters would love Voltron Force like lions and all lions at center options. Voltcoms are good too. Yeah, a lot of people like the Voltcoms. So do we have Voltcoms as well? Do we have... Each pilot has their own sort of magic that infuses with their own abilities?
I don't know. I just like the general idea of technology plus. The Voltcoms were cool additions that made the pilots more capable of holding their own without being in their lions. I thought that was a nice twist. But generally speaking, I think Voltron gains something by having a mythical aspect, something that's more than just gears and cogs and computer chips. Whether that's magic or something else, I don't know what else that might be. I think it just makes Voltron stand out and seem more special. So I like that aspect myself.
Right.
And one of the original aspects of Voltron, Kitty Sean says, original story was about teamwork and friendship. It taught me lifelong lessons. How about that part of the stories?
Yeah, once again, I think we're a different audience, you know. That was, I think, a lot of the shows back, you know, G.I. Joe, they had those little moral lessons after the end of the episode, mm-hmm. you know, that was, or Captain Planet, for example, same way. I don't know if we have to emulate that model anymore in our cartoon shows or in our shows anymore. Maybe it's just me.
We could show it in a way that doesn't expose it and put it out there in the front and say, look, we're doing something about teamwork.
Right.
How about just make it more subtle?
Yeah.
Right. I think we could have those themes, but not do the whole, you know, in your face, here's a moral lesson of the day kind of recap. Yeah. But it can be done, definitely. It can model those things,
and,
of course.
And that's one of the things Voltron was known for throughout pop culture is teamwork, you know, the coming together. That's how, you know, when you see the sports stars referred to it, they came together like Voltron, you know.
Exactly.
And it wasn't so much shoved in your face, like, you know, like how Tally was saying with G.I. Joe and He-Man sure used to do it too with the moral lessons at the end of the episode. You know, it was just a constant factor in every episode. They had to come together to beat the Robeast, you know. So it's I think that was just something that's part of Voltron and, you know, can be kept, you know, in the new series, hopefully.
Yeah, the thing that happened back in the day, 1984 and everything, mm-hmm. people weren't using Voltron like a verb or like an adjective or something like that. It was only the Voltron that came from the show. Nowadays, Voltron is used in the regular vernacular. You know, it's become a part of people trying to describe things coming together for one goal.
Exactly.
And that doesn't happen if you don't have a really good show that mm-hmm. taught that to people.
Yeah. I frankly prefer the scrupulous heroes. I mean, the characters who have a very strong sense of right and wrong. I think it's cool to have a few skeletons in the closet too, but I really like the pure hero. I think that a lot of characters, I think you could make an argument that Superman has turned a bit darker in more recent films. I like the characters who are good because being good is the right way to be. And, you know, coming together, being a team, standing up for what's right despite incredible odds. I like the idea of very idealistic heroism. I also, just to jump off just a bit, I personally think that Princess Allura has the strongest potential, assuming that these characters, you know, do in fact make it into the new series. I think Princess Allura, if treated very respectfully, could become the show's strongest character. I've always been fascinated by her background. I mean, being raised essentially as an orphan since her father was killed and her mother seems to have also died and all that, and becoming the just the de facto sovereign of her planet, and also, you know, taking arms to defend it as the Blue Lion pilot. I love that she and, you know, the other characters more or less signed up for it. I mean, you could argue that their mission was to find Voltron. You can interpret the material. It's kind of ambiguous in the old show, but, you know, they were arguably sent there for the purpose of reactivating Voltron. She was not. And she chose to do it. And I really think that she sort of fell into it, but decided to go with it. I love the idea of her taking a stand. I think she was strengthened in both the third dimension and in Voltron Force, and I'd like to see a stronger Allura in this new series as well.
All right, so if Allura is the main character of the show, even though it's a team and everything, we don't say that Keith is the lead. We say that Allura is the lead, and it's really her planet that brought us Voltron. It's her planet that has the lion's dens. It's her planet that she's a princess that became a queen. I mean, it's all going back to her family's roots as to where Voltron came from, right?
Well, maybe. I mean, I'm just saying, as a character, I'd like her to be the strong character that we saw her be in the later series. I think that if the 80s show had not included footage of Coran locking her in her room and spanking her in one episode, I think we all would have a different opinion of Allura today. I think that early episode very quickly pigeonholed her into being this weaker character who really struggled to come into her own. And I think the other shows already did a great job of getting her out of that mold. And I'm not saying she needs to be the leader, not even that she should be the leader, but I just like her being a very strong and idealistic character. And because of her tragic background, both from her family, with her family issues and the Eris being, you know, demolished and the people enslaved or killed, I think she has a lot more that she could bring to the table than we've seen so far. That's all.
Well, I can definitely say for sure that they probably won't make her like the original Allura, that she will be a much stronger character. 30 years have gone by, and
yeah.
we're much more moved. We've moved along.
It's a moment, maybe, right?
Yeah, I hope they really do, because, you know, you look at the original lore from Golion, and, well, not Golion, but the original Voltron to Voltron Force, and I'm so glad they finally gave her a backbone instead of having to be saved every single time. And,
right.
you know, the screaming typical princess. I'm just glad that they finally made her more of a role model that, you know, younger women and young girls can look up to, that we really don't have in a lot of the cartoons. And, you know, I'm glad that they finally did that. And hopefully they, you know, do that if she is in the new episodes.
Yep, agree.
Mm-hmm. Amy at One Lime Twist says, how do you defeat an enemy you can't kill? And how upsetting that would have been for Allura. So, yeah, it's being played as a joke was the problem, should have been terrifying. So there's some aspects here where in the Voltron Force show, you know, they would never use the words killing. I mean, at one point, Wade had tried to kill Allura, and Keith was talking with Allura later on, and he was upset, and he was like, he tried to take you out, you know, instead of saying he tried to kill you. You know, which is more terrifying? He tried to take you out.
But do you need to say kill?
I don't know.
That's all I'm saying.
That's what I'm asking.
I mean, kids aren't stupid.
Right.
Do you need to say kill?
Right.
And if a kid is too young to be exposed to the term kill, take you out could mean anything. I mean, it doesn't have to be a lethal. I mean, to a young child, let's put it this way. To an adult or an older child, they know that take you out means kill.
Uh-huh.
To a younger child who doesn't yet understand that, take it out could just mean take your favorite toy, in which case it's still threatening. In the eyes of a young child, something like that is bad enough. So I don't think you need to explicitly spell it out, because anyone who's old enough is going to know what it is, and anyone who's too young doesn't need to know what it is.
Is it okay to make references that only adults get? It sort of goes over the kids' heads every once in a while?
Yeah.
Over the kids' heads? So. Yes.
All right.
Absolutely. I think Pee-wee's Playhouse, and I know it's a totally different kind of show, I think it did that very well. There was a lot of adult-only references in that show, but the show itself was written very much with kids in mind, and I think that show is just, and I realize, different kind of a series, but does demonstrate that, yeah, you can absolutely drop in references that only older folks would get.
Well, I definitely know the old Looney Tunes cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I watched them as a kid all the time, but I knew that there were references that only adults would get.
Oh, sure.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
It didn't stop me from liking it any less.
Sure.
Well, it's like with Shrek, the movie, also a DreamWorks production, actually. Half the jokes in Shrek are geared toward adults, definitely, and not toward kids.
You know, even How to Train Your Dragon and a lot of the movies they do nowadays have, you know, references and jokes that kids aren't going to get, but we get.
Yep.
You know, and as long as it's written well, you can do that.
Yep.
All right, so Drowning Blonde says that the original Doomies were great. A wild card addition of new ones would keep the plot from getting stale, especially if the new villains played both sides for their own ends. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, you definitely have to get more villains. I mean, you can't have the formulaic Lotor every episode coming in, then Lotor plus Road Beast, you know, Blazing Sword into episode. I mean, it's what would happen if it's same enemies. So I definitely think you could have, need to bring a more wide gamut of enemies. We need to have, you know, we could even have, you know, something like Wade, for example. You would think they'd be an ally, however, they're not. You know, it's that... you know, the enemy, my enemy is my friend kind of thing, you know, might have different kinds of alliances and things like that happen. So I definitely think we need more enemies.
Okay. Sean Montgomery says, the suggestion is kind of insulting to me personally. You shouldn't have to kill a major character to get viewers. Okay. That was when I had said to somebody, I had said, popped out the question, do we kill off one of the major characters in order to move a story in a different direction? They definitely do not want anybody to be killed off. So how do we get that idea that the threat is real, that the Voltron Force might fail? And if so, what happens with Voltron? How do we interject that into the show?
No one died in the 80s series. Yes, we talk about Sven dying, but Sven didn't die. Shiroganay died. So Sven didn't die in the 80s. No one died in the third dimension. No one died in Voltron Force, as far as we know. I mean, there's a mysterious ending to Sven. But, I mean, you can get the idea of a threat across without killing someone. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
I don't see a real need to kill anybody.
Right.
I mean, and again, if you're trying to appeal to kids of all ages and adults of all ages, why would you kill off a hero? I mean, there are still people who are miffed that Optimus Prime bought the big one in the 1986 film. That's all I'm saying.
True that.
So Sean Montgomery says there's still so much more to build on with the original cast. Exploring that gets your attention right away. So there's definitely a lot more stories that could be told with this cast.
Certainly.
Once getting into the backstory part, we really don't know much. I mean, we did have some backstory on Pidge, you know, being from Balto. You know, we knew they were all space explorers. For example, when they did year one, Voltron year one, there was a lot of the backstory before they were Voltron. You don't have to do it so much, you know, before Voltron, but you could talk about that some more. I mean, you know, if they're world space explorers, what do they do? Are they like a special elite force? Are they like Marines? What do they do exactly? That could be another part of the backstory more, the room to explore.
Right. There was stuff that came out in the Voltron Encyclopedia that Brian Smith wrote that we got more information about the backstory of some of these characters in that than we had ever gotten from the show. So, you know, we'd like to see it in the show, actually, right?
Absolutely. It becomes more canon at that point when it's in the show.
Right. All right. So I'd like to move on to some of the Facebook questions that came out. So there's far less Facebook comments than there were Twitter comments. Tell us what your feelings are and any speculation you may have about the show. So here are the comments. We had five comments. Stanley Ryan Domer said, I'm hoping for a sequel to Voltron Force, but considering that's probably not the case, I'd like to see a mix of elements from line and vehicle, and of course my main man Sven being a part of the action. Hyped to see the series on Netflix from day one. John Joseph McHenry, not really interested unless it's about vehicle Voltron. Can't be bothered for the 75th true sequel to the Lion series.
All right. Yeah, I know of John Joseph McHenry quite a bit. He is a diehard vehicle guy, and you know, God love him. I am a vehicle Voltron fan as well. I would love to see that guy brought in, but again, you can't do too much too quickly. Even the most diehard fans prefer Lion Force in general, and so I want the guys to show up, but not right out of the gate.
Okay. And then also, Ryan Denning says, the show should definitely include the original characters. Also, I feel that Voltron Force was geared toward kids. Since this is a Netflix series, I'd like to see a more edgy, mature side to the Voltron story, something in the PG-13 range. And I hope animators stay true to the original artwork, improving on it with modern techniques. Couldn't be more excited, though. Kirk Malu says that he can't wait for the Netflix series. So that was it for the Facebook people.
Sounds good.
All right. So I'm also going to go to the emails that we had people sending me. There were some people that definitely had a lot more to say and couldn't keep it all in Twitter or on Facebook. So Todd Matthey, who you've all seen on the podcast before. Mm-hmm. Said, I don't want another one-season show either. I'm disappointed to see what's been happening with the current Voltron comic book. I hope the Voltron comic continues, but they need to take a different direction. DreamWorks needs to remember why we fell in love with Voltron. We've been going in the opposite direction for two decades, and it's gotten us nowhere. It's time for a different approach, and that approach is the classic approach. So, is it okay for Keith to have a mullet? Sure. Guess what? There's a lot of men with long hair. A retro style series can work. It did for Giant Robo, and it worked for Star Wars. Why can't it work for Voltron?
So here's my question to that is, what is the different direction that is being referred to here? What is the wrong direction? What is it that differs from the 80s series that is so bad versus what was going on in the 80s series? I'm not challenging that opinion. I just don't understand what that means. What's being said by the wrong direction for 20 years? What was being done wrong over the last 20 years that was done right in the 80s? Any thoughts?
Okay.
That's a good question. Yeah. Very good question. I mean, was it the bringing in the new characters? Is that the wrong direction? I mean, like I said before, we're a different audience nowadays. I know we can take some of the parts of the original series, but I don't think a direct rehash of what's pure Voltron, like you said, whatever that is, can you actually define that? I mean, you got five lines coming together to form a robot, and you got five great characters. I don't know what else could be said, you know?
I truly don't understand. I mean, seriously, there are a lot of folks who say it needs to look just like the old show. It needs to feel like the old show, sound like the old show, be like the old show. Have they watched the old show lately versus exactly. Any of the newer ones? I mean, I'm sorry. I love Voltron. That's why we're all here. We all love it. But it doesn't have to be identical to what it was before, especially, I mean, you know, I very much appreciate the efforts of everyone who made the show, but the post-Go Lion episodes of The Lion Force were significantly lower in quality than, mm-hmm. than what we saw in the first 52. I believe this for a long time. I do think that there's an extent to which even the better Lion episodes sort of rest on the laurels of the very, very strong first 6 or 8 episodes. Once you're past the origin story, the show is kind of lather, rinse, repeat. You know, it's very formulaic.
Sure. I
would love to see something that is new and exciting and has nice twists and turns every time. You know, I mean, you've got to have the familiar, you know, your stock, you know, let's launch the lions kind of thing. But take the story in new ways. That's why I'm so excited about a new show that can boldly go maybe where Voltron hasn't gone before, in addition to where it's already gone. So I'm very excited about it being different.
That was cool about Voltron Force. I mean, they actually came back to Earth. I mean, you think about it. Was it Larmina went to a baseball game?
Yeah.
You know, they had the bratty kid who held that collection. Voltron Force did do that. And that was, I mean, it was so much better. You think about it.
Oh, yeah, Dudley.
This might be heresy. You know, it was better than the old series in respect. You had something different. It wasn't exactly, you know, here comes Road Beast. Oh, let's get together, form Blazing Sword, you know, cut its head. That's the end. It wasn't that way at all. I mean, it was very different. I like that, right. Personally.
They even had pizza on Earth.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
They had a mall. I love the whole episode we had on Balto where they're running through that mall. And Armina was like, the same store over and over again. Oh, that was pretty funny. I mean, that kind of humor and that kind of different settings and things. They actually went places and saw new things, you know.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
I don't think that it was, you know, necessarily going in the wrong direction, but it's, you know, just what everybody, you know, what Greg was saying, how Voltron Force was on Nicktoons, that it wasn't out there. They weren't pushing things out there to grow the franchise. So I think that's the only thing that was, could maybe be going in the wrong direction of what he was talking about. I think they have a formula that works and they just need to improve on it, but they just weren't marketing it to get it out there. I think that's maybe, you know, the only wrong direction they could have been going in. But I mean,
the cadets, I think Daniel especially, I think him usurping Keith in the Black Lion was just too much for us.
Yes.
I think that really was the wrong direction. You know, I don't think, I'm not against the cadets existing. I think it's, you know, obviously they got to retire sometime, you know, good to have backup pilots. But I think they were going the wrong direction with, you know, this kid Daniel, who was all of a sudden just awesome at everything. And, you know, I think that was a little too much for us older fans to tolerate maybe.
Yeah, if I have two, I mean, I do think, again, Nicktoons just not being very out there and in the public consciousness in general, the network in general, was the big reason the show died after 1 year. But if I had to level two criticisms at the series itself, it would be that I think the cadets in general never, very rarely had to face the consequences of their actions. Sure. When they would, you know, they were always wandering off in their own direction and doing their own thing and, you know, and saving the day as a result. I do think that having them face the consequences of their actions more would have been better. And I also think that, again, I love the show, but I think that one of the challenges of the whole concept of any lion being able to take the center position really sort of undermined Keith being a leader, you know. And yes, they're a team. They all come together like Voltron and da-da-da-da-da, quite literally. But Keith is the guy in charge. And I do think that was one of my minor criticisms of the show, is that it's his leadership was sort of diluted between the cadets knocking on his door trying to take over and the fact that any of the pilots could take the center seat. Those are my only two criticisms, I would say, of the newer show. Loved it overall and would love to see a show at least that good coming out of Netflix.
Okay, going to the emails, Lorraine Kiamko from the Philippines, she is happy that there's going to be a new Voltron, yet cautious at the same time at the word reimagining. She hopes the character designs won't undergo so much change, something like what had happened in Ben 10 Omniverse. She did like the Voltron Force character designs, thought they were heading in the right direction. Story-wise, she liked the idea of the exploration of Voltron's mystical side and the different lion centers. And the backstory of Karan and Wade as Lion pilot hopefuls was great. And Keith's background was good. The hope on that they touch on that somewhere. She liked the Voltcoms. She had mixed feelings about the cadets. She's hoping to see some more team stories and subplots in the new series for expansion. Intrigued about the Den Resistance operating in other parts of the galaxy. The villains, Mayhawks, was completely treacherous, especially how he was able to overcome Pidge's home planet of tech ninjas. Lotor at times relieved he wasn't taking notes at every defeat. Some development on him, too, would help with the heroes. Hagar, she definitely wants her coming back. So, yeah, a little bit more on the character depth, too. So what do you think? There are some people out there that really like the original series. There's some people that like the Voltron Force series. This could be a little bit of both all at the same time, or it could be something completely different that we had never imagined before. Do you think this series really needs to take it to a new level that no one really expected so that the series will do well compared against other things on Netflix and other things on network television, other things are out there? There's so much competition for good shows out there these days. What does Voltron have to do on Netflix to make it last?
I can't answer that question myself because I don't watch a lot of television in general. So what does it need to do to one-up other shows? I can't really answer that question. I will say that I loved the dynamics between the villains in the original series, the Lion Force villains. I always thought, you know, the whole father-son thing was Archon and Lotor, and Hagar is the crazy granny or the crazy aunt, and I don't mean literally, but, you know, she kind of had that role, and I realized she was the vicious witch and all that, but... I always liked her antics. She reminded me a little bit of Sophia Petrillo in Golden Girls, you know.
Yeah.
Especially in the third dimension. There's a line in the third dimension where Judge Armistice is going to have Allura and Lotor married, and someone says, "But they're not in love." And she says, "What's love got to do with it?" I mean, I love that stuff. And but having said that, Mayhawks was an incredibly awesome villain in Voltron Force. So, do you want to stick with something from one of those shows? I'm cool with that. Do you want to go in a totally different direction? I'm cool with that too. So,
okay, how about you guys? What does Voltron have to do on Netflix to make it last?
I think it has to appeal to both adults and kids to make it last, and has to be not formulaic as the old show was. I think it has to be new and different, definitely. But to be able to have a show where the kids sit down, adults sit down together and watch it, and not adults totally just not, you know, hating every minute of their lives or watching a little kid's show. That's important too. It's got to be the characters have to speak in the language that kids speak today as well. I think it has to be a dialogue, not so, like I said before, not so hokey. I can, you know, let's face it, some of the dialogue was pretty hokey back in the day. I think it has to be more updated and more fresh, a little not edgy but funny, you know, that everybody could get.
So what about the relationships? You talked about the father-son relationship between Zarkon and Lotor. Obviously, there's a relationship that Hagar has with Zarkon that was kind of weird. There was the relationship between Lotor and Allura, which also had a lot to do with Lotor's mother and what may have happened with her. And then also, you know, the relationship between the pilot characters themselves, the fact that there might have been a love triangle, the fact that, you know, here you have these defenders of the universe. Do they really have time to work in relationships on the side? I mean, you had talked about, you know, Pidge in Voltron Force. He had this secret identity. He was stereolactic, you know. He was this guy that nobody had ever known before. So, you know, these types of things, are they going to have, you know, things about themselves that are hidden from everybody else?
Yeah,
I think
maybe.
I think definitely we do. I think, you know, like I said, I think we're more sophisticated audience these days. Even the kids are. I think they need to have, the characters need to have more depth than just being the stock hero, the brainy kid, the renegade. I think they definitely have to have more personality on their own. We kind of demand that more as an audience and as a viewing audience. We want more to see than the usual stock footage. I really do believe that we're more sophisticated in our choices nowadays, including the kids.
Yeah. Agreed.
And I think more, you know, you look at cartoons nowadays, some of them are pretty hokey, you know, it's more slapstick and stuff like that. And I think for them to make it, I think they need to have, you know, as Tali was saying, you know, yes, appeal to the kids, appeal to the adults. They have to have better scripts, more detailed scripts written, you know, like, and just how, because I remember when me and Tali were talking, we went to lunch one day about Star Wars, how, you know, she's a little bit bigger fan of Star Wars than I am, but I loved this one, and because it was so well written, you know, and that's, you know, for me, I think that's what would make it would be the scripts.
It had humor.
And how they handled it. Yeah, and it was good humor. It wasn't like, you know, the old hokey stuff. It was in good taste, and, you know, the snarky comments and the looks and the references. I think that is, you know, that will help them make it.
Yeah, I think I think humor is essential. In Voltron Force, Hunk was my favorite character by far because he had a lot of the best one-liners. I like the Hunk Yard is my favorite episode, actually. The whole him trying to bond with the cadets and falling on his face for the most part, trying to bond with them until, you know, especially with Larmina, until, you know, they both discover they both like heavy metal, you know. Of course, in the first episode, there's that spider robe beast. Should we poke it? You know,
yeah.
and then in flash form go. I mean, the whole, oh, I'm trying to remember. There was a line I was thinking of earlier. There was just some funny stuff, just genuine. Oh, yeah. Flash form go. They keep trying to form Voltron the old style way. Uh-huh. And that eyeball robe beast keeps knocking them out. And Hunk, you know, they keep trying to do the whole activate interlocks gig. And Lance ultimately says, can we just skip the preamble? I mean, I love that stuff, yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah.
They did challenge those notions, like with the whole, you know, everybody was doing a little snarky remark and Keith was kind of like, okay, everybody, just knock it off. Let's just warm up now. You know, they did challenge those hokey stereotypes a little bit in Voltron Force.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, in the original show, obviously, every time Voltron formed, they showed it. And it was, you know, pretty much the stock footage that they kept on redoing over and over and over again a lot of times.
Right.
So in this new show, yeah, I'd love to see a big, you know, forming of Voltron at the very first time it happens. And I want to see all the detail in its glory, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't have to see that every time they form Voltron.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
I actually disagree with that because me, there's a kind of a euphoria that happens there. I mean, there, you know, you've got whatever your crazy situation is, whatever goofy scheme they have to try to, you know, to defeat or what villains they got to fight. There's just something that is reassuring about the familiar. And I don't mean use the same footage in every single episode. You can shake it up, move the camera to a different position, whatever, you know, actually vary the backgrounds to show where the lions are when they're forming, for example, instead of that streaky star field or whatever.
Right.
But there's something that I think is cathartic about seeing that happen is, oh yeah, they're going to get it now. You know what I mean? When you see them do that, I think there's a certain comfort level there that I do like. And I don't mean it's got to be identical in every show, but the lions go up, yay, they come back down and they're fully formed. On occasion, that's cool. And they did that in Voltron Force on occasion. But I do think that there's something to be said about the familiar. And again, you know, when you see them, the pilots go to the lions, do we need the exact same sequence every time? No, but it's neat to see because you know what's going to happen next and it's going to be fun and awesome. And I personally dig that.
So we agree that the forming of Voltron is something that is what made the original great. And obviously, it was the music and the sound effects combined together that made that really cool for us, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you think the music is going to go this time?
Well, I do believe we have more, like, again, we have more technology available to us. They did a great job with the music, I think, in Voltron Force. So they had, you know, yeah. I personally liked the intro. Some people didn't like the intro. I loved the rap.
I loved it.
I did too. I think the whole, you know, sweeping musical score probably doesn't fit nowadays. I think with modern, I mean, you could have a little bit of that, I believe, but I think you're going to have to update some of the music. Definitely. That was great, mind you, but I think nowadays we're a little more, I think a little more update would be great.
I like the symphonic stuff that they did in Voltron Force. I will say though, that first episode where they used the classic music when they formed Voltron, it was right halfway in the series. I think it's when they took on Sky Marshal Wade on Earth. they when they did that for the very first time, I had shivers down my spine. It was so cool to hear. So I do think that music, it doesn't necessarily need to be that exact recording, but that's some significant stuff that I'd like to see again. The rest of it, as long as the incidental music is good, I'm not really that concerned about the genre or the style.
All right, so I'm going back to the emails, and I've got an email from Mertz. Mertz says, I'm sure everyone has said much the same things. Keep the original characters in some format. Yes, bring in new characters as well, but don't give us anything that's Voltron in name only. Drop bratty teenagers who are plain insulting and need a swift kick in the butt. new villain is a great possibility. If they use Lotor, don't make him comical. Great villains have brains. They don't keep doing the same stupid stuff, hoping something sticks. Yes, it needs to appeal to kids, but don't alienate the adult fans. Mistakes or blatant mischief needs to result in consequences or punishments, not a finger wagging. Make sure to include some comedy. You need those light moments. And it's okay for the Voltron Force to lose the occasional fight as long as they win in the end game. So, what do you think about all that?
That's a good point that she made about actually losing a battle, you know, and cause I think in the original, they never lost, you know, and it wasn't until they fought that one row beast that was, you know, four different creatures, you know, the snake, the wolf, the
right.
Spider, I think it was, they actually lost that.
Yeah.
To that row beast.
Ultron Force. Yeah.
Yeah. And they never went back on to actually defeat that row beast.
That's true.
So I think, you know, and that once again, that shows the flaws, you know? Yeah. I mean, they're not perfect, that, you know, they have to have some flaws. And I think that'll, you know, that'll keep people wanting to watch and, you know, good points to show to keep the show going and, you know, have the comedy like we talked about and just, you know, change it up a little bit.
And it doesn't have to be that obvious flaw of one person from the team trying to do it all and not relying on the other members of the team to help.
Exactly.
Yeah, the there was an episode in the 80s where Voltron was nearly defeated as well. I think it got stuck on, I think it was that Cosmic Comet episode that Tommy Yoon used as the basis for the Robotech Voltron crossover, where Voltron was basically stuck there and the galaxy, like all of his allies came together in this big space fleet. And that was a really unique moment for that series, which was kind of cool. So, something like that, where it'd be cool if maybe Voltron is at, you know, at the brink of certain defeat, and then maybe at that point a bunch of allies come together and save his bacon, you know. The third dimension kind of had that a little bit with everybody voting for Voltron, that trial they had, where everybody came together and said, you know, Voltron's done far more harm than good, he, you know, let's keep him around. I like the idea of people, and maybe we would have seen that in a second season of Voltron Force, where, you know, it because there was that resistance. Maybe in the second season something would have happened that nearly destroys Voltron, but that resistance comes together and helps him out. I would really like to see that.
All right. In the end, it really comes down to the fact that Voltron means so much to so many people, and they don't want to see anybody get it wrong. So if so many people can say so many things about Voltron, about what Voltron is, about what makes Voltron, you know, the thing that made them fall in love with it. So did DreamWorks really take that into account? We had probably a 2-year development period here, and I'm pretty sure that they went to the fans and said, what would you like to see in Voltron? Did any of you ever get questioned about that?
No. I know there were rumors and stuff. A couple times me and Tally would get emails and text messages from Mark about DreamWorks wanting to know who the top fans were and to keep eyes out for the email, but we never got anything.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I was sort of clued into that as well, and I've not heard anything either. But I know that I believe that WEP had worked with that survey organization. I forget who that was. This is 2 or 3 years ago, about, you know, what made Voltron work. What do you want to see and all that? There was a group of fans sort of looped in on that, and I happen to have been one of those. But this was before the 2013 thing, I believe,
before the announcement of Classic Media being acquired.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what was in, I don't recall the exact timeline, but that survey did go around and I happened to be part of that. But recently, no. I mean, I did hear there was some kind of a thing about big vans very recently, but beyond that, I don't know anything about that. I would say that as long as this show is written with, you know, with material appropriate for kids and yet is fun and entertaining for adults, I don't see how it can possibly fail. But that's just me.
And I mean, and to be honest, you're not going to make everybody happy. You know, you're going to have your minority of, you know, like if the Vehicle Voltron fans don't get their Vehicle Voltron in included, which I think they should. You know, he has his due. He should get some spot in, you know, spot in the starlight. And I'm sorry, in the spotlight. But, you know, not everyone's going to be 100% happy. And I think what everyone can just agree on is that fact that there is, you know, life being breathed back into this fandom and that he is coming back. He's not, you know, it's not, the fandom's not dead, you know, and hopefully
yes,
this
that's the important thing.
You know, he's back in our lives. We have back what we love, our, you know, the nostalgic of our childhood and, you know, we would, you know, and, but yeah, but it would be nice to see them get it right. But getting it right is everybody else. Yeah, everyone else has an opinion on that. So yeah. I just think everyone just needs to be happy that our favorite robot is back.
Sure.
Some fandoms don't have anything right now going on. Like, yeah. You know,
where's G.I. Joe? Where's Thundercats? Where's look what happened to Jem. You know, I mean, we're not going to talk about that.
Right.
You know, I mean,
the movie hasn't even come out yet. Has it?
We're talking about it.
We're talking about Jem.
It was a flop.
It was bad.
Massive.
Wow.
It was, I think, in theaters for like 3 weeks.
Really?
Yes.
I completely missed that.
It did so poorly at the box office that the studio pulled it from its first run release. Yep. I mean, that almost no film goes through that. I mean, where it does so badly and the word of mouth is so bad, they actually pulled it from theaters.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, it was a disaster. You don't want that happen to Voltron.
Well, you know, they didn't get the original producers and creators involved in that movie. You know that, right?
Yeah. Right.
Right.
And that was a sad thing.
Yeah, I'm not a Jem fan, although I did watch it from time to time in the 80s. But from all accounts, from what I've heard, it basically was, it wasn't even Jem in name only. Well, I don't even know if you can call that, and I don't know. It just was nothing compared to what it seemingly was before.
Right. And here's what we can finally get to. We wanted to talk about a Voltron live action movie for many years. It's had three go arounds where three different groups of people have been involved in trying to get a Voltron movie going. The important thing with this show that happens on Netflix is it's not just a reimagining of Voltron and it's going to be on a series only and then that's it. That's all you're ever going to see. This could be the beginning of a Voltron live action movie. What is important for fans to realize is that you have to go out and give this Voltron show a chance on Netflix. You have to get behind it. I know there's going to be things that there's you're probably not going to like about it. There's going to be things that you like about it. But if you want to see a Voltron live action movie, we have to get behind the show. We have to get behind the people that are involved with the show. We have to get into the heads of DreamWorks and Netflix. We have to, you know, buy all the merchandise that they come out with. We have to support the apps and the video games and all anything else that comes out, all the collectibles that might come out, anything that's licensed with Voltron on it. We have to let the social media explode with Voltron. We have to really get Voltron into the heads of everyone in the world so that these movies executives can see that the world is ready for Voltron live action movie.
And I mean, you know, we have to admit we have some of the best fans in the world of any fandom, and we are rabid when it comes to this robot. And if anyone can get this started, we can.
Amen.
Know? And I mean, even when we were at Comic-Con, what was it, 2 years ago, when Bob was actually out to dinner with us, you know, he saw, I think he was a little shocked by how rabid we actually are.
I think he was. Know? And we might have scared him a little bit.
We may have. But, you know, we have the best core fan group, and we can, you know, and I want everybody out there to listen to Mark's words. We need to get this to happen. We can make it happen. We are the best fandom in the world, in my opinion.
Yes, and what other fandom can say, after 30 years, where there's not an existing show out there right now, that there's a role-playing group on Twitter?
Still here, yep.
Right. The Snarktron Force is out there in full effect. All right?
Yeah, we are.
Yes.
And then there's a fan fiction community that is still growing, and they're constantly putting out new material.
Absolutely.
And there's Voltron collectors out there that are just waiting for the next big Voltron collectible. And of course, yes. Sideshow is probably the biggest one coming out pretty soon. But that's going to be a very expensive item. Very few people are going to be able to put the money into it.
Right.
But it's going to be one of the best things you've ever seen. All right. And I mean, you know, there's toy collectors, there's people that loved the original show, there's people that loved the 3D show, there's people that love Voltron Force show. There's people that are making Voltron things to this day. They're knitting things, they're making Voltron fan art. They're
cosplay.
Cosplaying yeah. in Voltron.
Yeah. Custom toys, hint hint.
Yeah, exactly. they're making their own panache play style vehicle Voltrons.
Woohoo. Anyway.
So I mean, the fandom is out there just begging for a chance for Voltron to get on top again.
I think one thing we need to keep in mind is that this show, you don't make a show and just hope to heck that one show works and then you're done. In my mind, because WEP would not have hung on to this property for as long as it did if it didn't think it had a new life, had potential for a new life. And so in my opinion, you know, with all the feature film efforts that have taken place over the years, this show is a necessary prereq to the successful making of a movie, because Voltron right. has suffered, as much as we all love it, Voltron has suffered because it has not been in the eyes of a lot of people for a long time. So Voltron Force was a great show, but it was not as visible as it could and should have been. I think that having a show on Netflix where you have a lot more potential eyes to look at it gets it back in the public consciousness and public awareness. And I think that that's the kind of thing that can push investors who finance the production of these things to look at the movie and say, yeah, we want that now. Whereas they might not have wanted that a few years ago. You know what I mean? It's all about dollar Absolutely. Signs in the eyes of, yeah, it's all about dollar signs and return on investment in the eyes of investors. And when you see a show succeed and a lot of people watch it, that gets them thinking dollar signs, which gets a movie made.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. All right. So I want to get your final thoughts on this, because this isn't going to end. Obviously there's going to be a buildup coming up to the show where there's going to be more and more and more coverage.
Do they set a date when it's supposed to be out, or just later this year?
The only thing they've said officially is sometime in 2016.
Okay.
That's the only thing they've said officially. So we do know we're getting it this year. We do know it's only months away now, not years. And we do know that it's going to be made by DreamWorks Animation in cooperation with Netflix. It's going to be released on Netflix. What you're probably going to get, as all the Netflix series have done up until now, you'll probably get a 13-episode block of shows right from the get-go. Now, that's just based on what they've already done before. I don't know for sure. I'm just saying. 13 episodes, and you'll probably like binge watch them and within like, you know, if
one
it's
day.
A half an hour show, then yeah, one day. So we're going to be talking about this a lot more in the year to come, but I want you to know I'm there for you 100%, 110%. And, you know, we'll be bringing you as much information as we can from the podcast. But if any of you guys find out something before me, let me know.
Oh, we'll yeah. Do. We're so smart.
And we can share it on the podcast.
Yes,
absolutely. We'll do.
But
watch
I want to get
my
you...
house.
You and party at Tally's house.
Come on,
yeah,
y'all.
I'm not active in a lot of the fandom stuff with Twitter and fanfic and all that. But I will say that when Voltron Force was airing, Jeremy Corey was awesome at interacting with fans in various media.
Absolutely.
And he's certainly not, doesn't seem to be actively involved in this since he's not with WEP anymore. But I would hope that the online community and this podcast can sort of fill that void. Basically, maybe we can do a weekly review. You know, what happened in episode one? You know, in this episode of Let's Voltron, let's review this episode, you know, and have two or three folks, you know, chat about it and, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly and all that. There's some exciting times ahead. I'm totally behind you, Mark. This is going to be a fun year.
Yeah, it's going to be a great year. And what are your final thoughts about the new show?
Let's watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's exciting to know. I mean, this is going to be, like we said before, Netflix is everywhere. It's not just that one. I mean, when we moved around the area, I was trying to find a cable package that had Nicktoons. It was hard to find it. I had to pay extra for it. And now it's going to be on Netflix, which, I mean, who doesn't have Netflix nowadays? I mean, it is in almost every household around America and around the world. This is big news, and we're reaching a bigger market, and it's probably the biggest market we've ever had. You think about it. This is the biggest market Voltron's probably ever had and ever will have. This is a great opportunity. It's really, it's amazing nowadays that technology, where it is, where it's going, and it's going to be that available to people, and here we are.
Yeah. How about you, Tara?
I'm just excited and can't wait, and just, you know, can't wait to get behind this and be involved with it. And, you know, hopefully, you know, they'll do something at the cons this year and everything else. And just, you know, just very excited and happy to see everything coming back. And hopefully it goes down the right path to bring us a movie finally.
Right. That's a good point about Voltron at the cons. We were sadly missing Voltron at San Diego Comic-Con last year.
And New York.
And New York. Yeah. Again. Where we had had several years there where we had had something at least.
Right.
So it would be nice to have Voltron come back in full effect at the cons as well.
You know, and hopefully so, because it looks like, Tally, we may be going back to New York this year, even though we said last year would be our last year. We may be back. But I hope they do something at New York this year.
I'd like to see something at upcoming toy fairs as well. In other words, merchandise. I don't know if anything, I mean, obviously nothing official has been said, but I would hope that they've got some potential licensees lined up. I'd love to see Mattel back in the fray, or like as they were during the Voltron Force time with the Club Lion Force subscription and what would have been Voltron Force toys, or maybe a Jack Specific, or, you know, there are a lot of really good toy companies out there that would do a great job with Voltron merchandise.
Yeah, the dogs are excited about it too. I think we're going to close this up, but I thank you guys for coming and for sharing your thoughts on the new Voltron Netflix show. I can't wait to see what happens. I can't wait to see how they get close to, you know, the show and how they hype it up before the show starts. But I know Netflix is planning to promote this as much as they can. It's something for people of all ages, as we've heard from Bob Coppler. And we're really looking forward to whatever comes, okay? Because we're big Voltron fans, that's why.
Absolutely.
All right, so thank you guys, and we'll see you all next time on...
Let's Voltron!
Let's Voltron!
Let's Voltron!
Let's Voltron!